This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Lawmakers are back in Raleigh today to start the 2017 legislative session. Lawmakers return to deep political divisions over a number of issues. An entrenched Republican leadership led by Senator Phil Berger and House Speaker Tim Moore will have to develop some sort of relationship with the new Democratic Governor, Roy Cooper. The long session will likely include debate on many issues, including teacher pay, Medicaid expansion, and HB2. And questions linger over decisions by former Governor Pat McCrory. Some of his top officials were set to receive bonuses at his instruction, but Governor Cooper has halted those payments. Rusty Jacobs is a political reporter for WUNC and joins me now. Welcome, Rusty.
Thanks, Frank.
Tell us about the what's on the top of the agenda now for lawmakers, GOP-led legislature, as they return to Raleigh.
Well, as you may remember, 2 weeks ago, the senators and representatives actually came to Raleigh for a largely ceremonial opening. But at that time, Senator Berger, President Pro Tem of the Senate, made some statements. And among those statements were his priorities. He talked about tax cuts for businesses, tax cuts for working families, supporting public education, improvement, educational reform, and even raising teacher pay.
Here he is, Senator Phil Berger.
We'll remain focused on providing a bright future for our children and helping build a capable workforce that will attract business to the state.
Senator Phil Berger on the official opening day of the long session. They get down to business today for real. But let's listen, because he talks about attracting business to North Carolina. And, of course, that has become a real sore spot for this GOP legislature, which has hurt business. HB2 has demonstrably cut into business and cost the state millions. And that was something that Jeff Jackson, a Democrat from Mecklenburg, pointed out.
We are not going to recruit a major tech company to North Carolina until we repeal HB2. If we do repeal HB2, it'll be the biggest economic development bill of the year.
All right. So any indication? Obviously, there was that false start before, you know, sort of in that interregnum period about repealing HB2. The lawmakers couldn't get it together. It didn't happen. Is that going to come up again?
Well, if the Democrats have anything to do with it, if Governor Roy Cooper has anything to do with it, we heard about Senator Berger's priorities. Governor Cooper has put repealing HB2 at the top of his list. He shares the sentiments expressed by Senator Jackson and Senator Dan Blue, who I spoke with after that ceremonial opening ceremony. So absolutely, HB2 repeal. And remember, Democrats are not alone. There are some Republicans in the General Assembly who want to see repeal of HB2 as well, especially for those economic reasons.
And Democrats are not particularly united, because it depends on the details of the deal. If the city of Charlotte has to voluntarily do what HB2 does by law, and that is to say take away the protections for transgender individuals, if they do that voluntarily as part of the deal, there are a lot of people who say that's no deal.
Right. There seems to be almost a game of chicken going on. Some in the General Assembly want to see Charlotte get rid of its ordinance, and Charlotte wants to see the General Assembly make its move first.
All right. So Medicaid expansion, that is another priority of the incoming governor, Roy Cooper. He's made efforts in that direction, which are now stalled by the courts. Tell us where we are on Medicaid expansion.
Right. So Republican leadership, Berger and other Republicans, filed this federal lawsuit seeking to block this unilateral move by the governor. And they say there's a 2013 law, and there is a law in the books that would suggest that he can't do that without legislative approval. Senator Berger and the other people behind the lawsuit seeking to block Cooper have asked the federal judge that imposed a restraining order on further action by the federal and state Health and Human Services departments on Cooper's request. They have issued a request for an extension of that restraining order. There may be a hearing on that this Friday. But for now, Cooper is asking to be given the authority to get uninsured people or to expand Medicaid to cover those who otherwise wouldn't qualify for that, or the subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. And the Republicans are saying no deal. I'll let you know, in walking around the legislature yesterday, Representative David Lewis, high-ranking Republican in the House, is planning on filing a bill that would not necessarily address the same thing. It would go back to this idea of creating a high-risk insurance pool. unfortunately, it's contingent on repeal of Affordable Care Act. So really, the bill suggests doing something if something else happens, and we don't know if that'll happen.
Right. And it will be interesting to see how this particular debate is framed now in 2017 in the way that it was never had when Republicans held both the governor's mansion and the legislature, particularly now. I mean, you have the economic development question of tens of millions of dollars federal money that was not spent in the state of North Carolina. That is lost revenue to the state of North Carolina because the federal dollars for Medicaid expansion never came. So up in the hundreds of millions of dollars, anywhere from 300 to 500,000 North Carolinians not covered. That's another particular issue. But now, in if you think about the debate over how to replace ACA, if it is dismantled by the Republicans, you know, the question of uncovered, you know, people going without health insurance. So it'll be interesting to see how this is reframed and retold in the year 2017.
Right. And Governor Cooper keeps saying that this is, you know, that at least as of 2017, the expansion, 95% of the cost would be covered by the federal government and 5% he would try to get the hospitals to cover. So he's really trying to say this is a win-win-win situation. But he's running up against this the legal challenge.
All right, we'll see. So now we want we're talking about some legislation suggested by at least one lawmaker, a bill to protect former state leaders. Republican State Senator Dan Bishop wants a law that would make it a crime to threaten, intimidate, or retaliate against present or former North Carolina officials. This, of course, because of the incident with Pat McCrory, who was in Washington, D.C. for the Trump inauguration. Some protesters found him and kind of cornered him at a doorway that would have led to the Commerce Department. Let's hear how that went.
Shame on you! Shame on you! You anti-gay bigot! Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you!
Those are protesters in Washington, D.C. who found former Governor Pat McCrory and decided to cast shame on him for his support of HB2. What about this legislation that would give special protection to politicians?
I don't know that it's being met with a lot more than maybe derision, ridicule. Perhaps those words are too strong. But the fact of the matter is the it would suppress free speech. It would seemingly suppress free speech in a way that would not pass constitutional muster.
Yeah.
Something like that would have to be very narrowly tailored. If you look at the video, you could see how someone like McCrory might feel uncomfortable in that situation. He was cornered in the sense that he was trying to get in an entrance, could not gain access to this entrance while people kind of closed in on him with those chants. But you could see he doesn't look terribly alarmed. He's fine. But again, these are just words.
And no violence.
Right.
That's absolutely right. These are words, and this is what, sometimes they're loud words and very unhappy to hear.
And even Senator Bishop acknowledged that there was nothing approaching assault here. So don't think that law is probably going to go anywhere.
Let's talk about some other news lately. Another state lawmaker tweeted about the Women's March on Saturday. This is Republican State Senator Joyce Kravec, who tweeted, quote, "Message to crazies at Women's March: if brains were lard, you couldn't grease a small skillet." Has she since apologized?
She has, and she's done, I think, what anybody who says they misspoke on Twitter. She deleted the tweet, but has said that her response was in anger and frustration over what she saw as vulgar behavior and graphic displays at the D.C. march. So she apologized, but tried to explain why she was felt compelled to post that tweet.
Casting aspersions on the intelligence of women, any backlash about the sexist nature of that tweet?
I think that the her actions or the backlash was strong enough to get her to delete it and apologize.
Another Republican took to social media with a sexist comment. Mike Causey shared a post on Facebook. It wasn't his. He shared it. The quote was, "In one day, Trump got more fat women out walking than Michelle Obama did in 8 years." Has he apologized?
That seems to be the default response when somebody's caught saying something that they wish they weren't caught saying. He did, in fact, say that it was insensitive. He called it an insensitive social media post and a lapse in judgment, and did not reflect what he believed about women.
Let's talk about some payments that Pat McCrory tried to get pushed through at the very last moment of his administration, payments for departing officials. Give us that story. What happened there?
So he sought to have his cabinet secretaries, the 10 cabinet secretaries on the way out, get bonus and accrued vacation pay that they would not otherwise get because they are exempt from the state, the personnel regulations that would give that to employees other than top executives like that. He sent a letter to the state controller and another office asking for those exemptions essentially to be overlooked, and right, for these payments to be made.
And Roy Cooper has stopped those payments because they're not legal. They're not something that the law allows.
That's certainly what he believes, and he's asked a review to take place.
All right. Rusty Jacobs, political reporter for WUNC. Thank you, Rusty.
You're welcome.
Right, just ahead, Beyond Barbecue, a new book dives into the diversity of North Carolina cuisine. You'll hear more on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.